Egyptians had meat. We want to be back in Egypt where there were good things. And God was angry with them, and he said, I'm going to give them meat for a month. Meat that they're going to be so sick of it by the time they're finished. And dear Moses, he says, Lord, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say I will give them meat for a month. Would they have enough flocks and herds if we were slaughtered for all of them? Would there be enough if all the fish in the sea were caught? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? And I just felt that we limit God so often. We limit him to our understanding. We limit him to what we can see and what we understand. But when Jesus came, he came to demonstrate the supernatural. And he constantly broke through, feeding 5,000 men with, you know, a small amount. Whether it was defeating the grave, whether it was walking on water, he constantly showed us that he is bigger than what we can ask or expect. And we need to believe him.
Of swimming upstream. You know, when everything seems to be against you, I saw myself swimming upstream. God gives us the ability to be able to swim upstream. And this verse in Habakkuk 3, verse 19 is so beautiful and amplified. It says, the Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We were singing and asking this morning, Father, who is like you, God? God, there is none like you. There is no one like you, Father God. In all of the universe, Father, there is no one like you. Nobody shows more compassion than you, God. Nobody shows more care than you, Father God. Nobody will lay their lives down, Father, as you did. Oh, Father, we worship you this morning. There is none like you, God. Only you are able, Father, in our lives. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the purpose in our lives, Father. Thank you for your will that you have in our lives, Father. Father, your word teaches us in Job that you, Lord, are exalted in your power. God is exalted in his power. Father, we exalt you this morning, Lord. We lift your name up as your people, Father God, and we exalt you, Lord. Wonderful Father. Incredible God. God, thank you for all the control that you have in our lives, Father God. Thank you that we can submit to you this morning, even the finances of our homes, Lord, into this storehouse, Father God, that you might use that, Father God, to multiply your kingdom, Lord, that your glory might be greater, Lord. Lord, that your glory will come, Lord. Let your kingdom come, Father God, in this place, Lord, through us as your church, Father God, and in this local church. Deacons, I'd like to ask for you to grateful we are, Lord. How grateful we are, Father. Our hearts are overwhelmed with gratefulness towards you this morning, Lord. Awe-inspiring, Father. Maybe we can just sing that last song as we collect the tithes. Pardoning iniquities and passing out over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to your fathers from the days of old. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, church.
Isn't it big? Amen. Wonderful. Yeah. Anybody love Jesus?
Yeah.
Really? Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Yeah. Okay, well, Ray likes Jesus. I mean, Ray, you're blessing. Cool, man. It's been a wonderful privilege to be preaching the parables of Jesus over the last, I think we've done about 8 weeks, what? Teresa's saying, she's like my style coordinator. As long as the zip's not done. Oh, sorry. Nice, good, all right. We've been looking at the parables of Jesus, and he didn't teach anything without parables. And the parables of Jesus, I tell you, folk, there's nothing more. If you can get what Jesus was saying in the parables, there's not some other big secret story or some other amazing deep truth that's hidden somewhere. If it's not in the parables, it's in the parables. And if you get the answers that God's got within the parables, within his plain and simple teachings, which relate to incredible eternal truths and values, if you can get those, you can get it. You can get everything. But then it's not just about getting it. It's not just about having knowledge. I'll touch on a whole lot of these things as I share today. But it's about letting it impact and change your life. And that's what I'd like to pray for all of us here this morning. Can we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Lord. We thank you for the amazing grace that you've given us, Lord. Nothing makes me sing like you, Jesus. Nothing makes me want to do what I do for your kingdom like you, Jesus. Nothing makes me want to be a better husband, a better father, a better person than you, Jesus. To see you is to have my eyes blessed. To know you, Jesus, is to have my whole life changed. To love you and pursue you and to seek you, God, is everything. Lord, I pray for every one of us here today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would reveal yourself, even in what we're sharing today, that you would stir us towards truth and towards living like those whom you've called to be Christians, to be Christ ones on the earth. But I pray for your grace to do that. Take a hold of us today. Today's the day you want to do something new in people's life. Today's the day that you're about to change something significant in people's lives. We believe in it. We're expectant for what you're going to do, Jesus. This is not just going to be a normal Sunday meeting where some guy says a whole lot of stuff. This is a moment where the Holy Spirit can absolutely, completely change you forever. And Lord, I'm praying for that. And I thank you that it would be the case for many people here, for all of us. Come again. If you did it, if you changed us yesterday, change us again today. We need you every day because we need to be more and more like you, Jesus. And we're so far from that image that you intended us to reflect on the earth. I ask you today would be a wonderful step in that glorious direction. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 51 and 52. The parable of the old and the new treasure. Many people wouldn't see this as a parable, but it actually is a parable. Parables are parallels, if you would have it. There's fictitious stories that Jesus kind of put forward, which were actually parallel to heavenly truths. And so when Jesus was telling a story about seed sown on the ground, he wasn't actually talking about a person who did it, but he used these illustrations that people could understand, and there are a lot of allegories in it. And then he said to them, but this is what it's really all about. And then he talked about the kingdom. And so he says this, he says, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Full stop. That's quite interesting, isn't it? What is going on here, Brad? What is going on? When you read that kind of scripture and you see that, it's like, okay, I'm sure there's more to this. That's the beauty of parables. It's just a taster. You can walk away from it and say, well, I don't understand it. It's a bit too deep for me. Or I know there's something in there, but I don't have the time really to go for it. Or you can pay attention, draw from Jesus, draw from his spirit, dig in, and you'll see God will start to reveal amazing things. And so I hope that we can do this today. I'm relatively young. I'm 36. I think relatively young. I'm young, eh? Sometimes I start feeling like, geez, I'm getting old. But my dad, we were on the rocks fishing at Hole in the Wall, and my dad, had a little slip here and there, and he said, "Jeez, Brad, I'm getting old." And I mean, how old are you now, Dad? 61. And I think it would be cool to get to 61 to finally realize you're getting old. But maybe I see there's some older men that are saying, no. And you know what, it's an incredible thing, this thing, age, you know. But since the year 2000, I must admit, I've learned quite a few things about what it means to know Jesus. When I got saved in 2000, that May, 7th of May 2000, Jesus revealed himself to me, and right away there was like this depth of love and depth of wow and almost wisdom that was straight away imparted into my heart. Just as right away was pushing aside the drugs and the sex and all the other stuff that I was running after. Until that moment when Jesus entered my heart and my life, everything changed. And suddenly there was this beautiful, worth everything. Nothing counted anymore for me. I gave it all up for the sake of the pearl of great price. There was Jesus telling me how much he loved me, no matter how fraught I'd been. You think you're fraught. I was fraught. Sometimes there's still a little bit of a smell here and there, but Jesus is dealing with it. Yeah, my dad knows. Shame, I must have given him gray hairs. I'm sure that time you were saying, I'm getting old, every time you saw Brad. But I've learned a lot of things on my own. I've read the Bibles. I got stuck into the Word. I desired more of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was seeking after the things of God, just in my own personal devotions. I remember picking up a book that was like a 30-day devotional, and I went through this thing, and I started highlighting my Bible, and I had to recover my Bible about three times. An old man in the church, Roy, his job was to cover these legal books for the government. And so I would sometimes slip my Bible in there with him and it'd come back with a fresh cover. So my Bible always looked good on the outside, but on the inside it was all highlighted and pages were falling out and things I'd bookmarked and everything. So there was this deepening of I wanted to get more of what I've experienced of Jesus. When you've had a taste of Jesus, man, when you've had a taste of anything that's nice, you want more of it, right? When I first saw Sharissa, I was like, I want more of that. And now we're married and it's wonderful. But like, when there's something beautiful, something nice, something great, you know, you might have like had as, I don't know, whatever it is. And there's something inside you like, I've got to have more. Jesus does that like nothing else can. Because everything else is rubbish now in comparison to knowing Jesus and wanting Jesus. I'm praying for you that you would have an encounter with him like that. Who's had an encounter like that with Jesus? There's nothing better. There's not Jesus is going to get you to something else that's going to make you feel like that again. It's always and only Jesus. Jesus, a new facet of him. Something else about him. The way he helps you through your teen years is amazing. The way Jesus helps you through your single years. The way he helps you through your marriage years. The way he helps you through your parenting years. The way he helps you through your retirement years. The way he helps you to embrace death, to go into eternity. There's always something beautiful about Jesus that keeps you loving and passionately after him. And so I want to encourage you with that. But the things that I learned the most was from older people and from people who'd walked roads before me. I have to acknowledge that today. I have to acknowledge that I learned some things from my dad. I learned some things from Annie Pereira. I learned a lot of stuff from him. I learned some things from many of you folk in the life of the church as you'd walked things, as you'd generously shared your experiences. I learned from those things. And some people's experiences are great experiences that I've desired to go after as well. And other people's experiences were tough experiences and hard experiences and maybe foolish experiences. And I thought, geez, but I want to avoid those. So I'm grateful to every single person that's walked anything in God that has shared it with me. Because I didn't learn everything that I had to learn about Jesus on my own. I've learned a lot on my own, but I've learned a heck of a lot from everyone else who shared things with me. Your Christian walk and your Christian life is not you and your Bible and your TBN or whatever. It's about getting among people. It's about listening to others. It's about humbling yourself and saying, teach me, show me. How does that work? My in-laws are building they're not here today. My in-laws are building a flat on our property. It's a wonderful privilege just to have the space to be able to do that. And it's a privilege for them to be able to build on our property. We're not paying anything. But I'm keeping my eye on it because it's my house in a sense. It's not my house, but it is my house. But, you know, like, I know what I want to do, and this is what I want to see. And I've learned a few things about building. And then you got Patrick and Aniki, and Patrick, he was a builder for years, so he's seen some things. So it's been incredible for me to like live in that tension of, this is what I like, and this is what I've seen, and this is what I saw on the cover of a magazine. And then there's that wisdom, and there's like, but this is how it's going to go, and this is how it's going to unfold, and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very, very good for us to realize that we don't get there all on our own. We need other people to help us. We need other people's wisdom. We need other people to show us the ropes and to show us the way forward. It's a wonderful thing if you can come to a place where you recognize that we need both sides of the blade sharpened. Your own walk with Jesus and other people's walk with Jesus that are shared with you and that generously you generously receive in your life. That's what it means to have a house with treasures, old and new. It's important for us to have this mix in our lives. There's an important question Jesus asked at the beginning of this verse. He says, have you understood all these things? So if we just think back on all the parables we've been doing, have you understood all these things is obviously referring to the parables he's been sharing. We've done 7 parables to date. And let me just recap your memory. There's the parable of the sower and the man who sows the seed, which is the word of God. And some of the seed falls on the path where birds pick it up. And some of the seed falls on rocky places, and they get a little bit of a root, but you know, all kinds of what happens? The sun scorches them and they die. And you've got other seed that fall among the weeds, and the worries and the cares of life and the world choke out the very life. And then you get the seed that falls on the good soil. And the good soil is a soil that's been prepared. Good soil is like soil that's been kind of tilled, and you've put in the compost and you've watered it well. When this seed falls in that soil, man, it takes off right away. And Jesus wants us to be like good soil. And you and I have got responsibility towards our own hearts being like that soil. When the word of God comes, we can either let the enemy take it away. When the word of God comes, we can either kind of dig into it a little bit and then let the sun scorch it away and leave it alone. Or we can let the word of God come, but we're actually concerned about other things. We want God to sort out our money, and we want God to sort out our verse, and it's all about that stuff. And eventually it chokes the life out of the word. But then there's what happens when the Holy Spirit touches your heart and life. Those disciples of Jesus, when he asked this question, have you understood all these things? Yes, we have, sir. They didn't understand nothing. Because the day when Jesus had to face a little bit of persecution, and Jesus was going to be betrayed, and Jesus went to the cross, where's the disciples now? They didn't understand a thing, eh? The lights went out. Poof, as I did that. Did you see that? I'll do it again and I go on. Poof! Hey, are you going to turn the switch on there? You must get your cue. What's happening? Anyway. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit, yes, the Spirit upon our hearts. When the Spirit of God touches you, because after Pentecost, after the Spirit was poured out, then those disciples were willing to do anything. They were willing to be burnt to the stake. They were hung upside down. They said, no, we'll die because we believe in this. This is the truth. What makes a Jewish fisherman become a martyr for a man? The only thing that can make a Jewish fisherman become a martyr for a man is if that man is Jesus and he's God and he rose from the dead. Because then you realize that life's not all about your little fishing and dying and it's over, but there's eternity to come. That's what makes you good soil. Then it talks about the parables of the mustard seed. And who of you remember when Oliver shared that beautiful message he shared with us? Oh, and the mustard seed, the parable of that is it's like though the word of God, though these times in church, though the word, or though the experiences we have, maybe in worship, you might have this little bit of an inkling of, that was nice. Or a little bit of yes, I believe in you, God. Just a little bit of I'm going to trust you, Jesus. That mustard seed is able to grow. And though it seems insignificant and nothing, you stand in the word, you believe that word, God starts to cause you to be somebody that just believes him for great things, for mighty things. It can overtake your whole life, but it's not just that. It's the church of Jesus Christ that started with those 120 followers. If you were to think, geez, was Jesus' ministry great by any means? When he comes to the end of his ministry, from age 30 to 33, by the way, teach us something, young man. He dies at 33 after 3 years of this power ministry, nation-changing ministry. People healed, saved, raised from the dead, 5,000 fed more than once, walking on water, storms. I command you to be still, quiet, demons coming out, just all kinds of amazing miracles happening. At the end of all of that, he has 120 followers. Woo! Sometimes we think, I think, Brad, sure, I wish the church was bigger. Brad's like, Jesus is like, Brad, I only got 120. You got 130. I'm like, sure, okay. But like, after Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured upon them, that small little group, mustard seed, bunch of people getting together to pray, has meant that you and I today are believers in Jesus Christ at the southern tip of Africa 2,000 years later. That's big. That's, and the nations are being touched, as we heard Ol say to us. That when that mustard seed becomes this huge tree in the garden, and the branches reach out, and there we've got Chris on the end of that branch touching Burundi. Hello. It's a beautiful thing, the kingdom of God. These are the parables, folks. We did the parable of the yeast. Hilton preached on the parable of the yeast, how just something of that little bit of that alive, living, active kingdom, when it comes into your life, it impacts every area. And let it impact every area. Let the force of what God's wanting to do in you, let it go wild. Hello? Don't contain this amazing word, this amazing active Spirit of God that's been granted to you all the time. Don't contain it to your little Sunday box. My little show face moment. So I can look good. So everybody thinks it's okay for me. And you want to grow in these. I don't know. Let the impact and the force of what that yeast is wanting to do take over. All your finances, starting with the 10% until the Lord owns the 100%. Is that cool? Because in fact, He owns everything anyway. You don't have 1 cent unless God gives it to you. It's mine, I will not let anyone touch it. It's not, it's Jesus. He owns it. Let it impact your whole relationship. Let it impact what you do with your hands, your feet, and every part of your body. Let the yeast come and impact your business. Let it impact your home, your family, your children, your grandparents, everywhere. Your neighborhood. Let everyone know there's the Jesus guy. Because one day they might say, oh, the Jesus guy. But one day when it's tough and it's hard and they're crying on their knees and Jesus reveals himself to them, who are they going to call on? Not the Ghostbusters. The guy who follows Jesus. You're sowing seeds every time you say you're a believer. You love Jesus. You're a Christian. People say, oh, you're a Christian, eh? Oh, is it? Oh, I don't suppose you like what's going on in America now, do you, Mr. Christian? Hello? Any of you been watching the news and you're seeing rainbows all over your Facebook pages? What's that all about? I'll tell you what that's all about, folk. That's this. That the distinction between those who follow Jesus and those who don't is going to get wider and wider and wider. It's going to be very, very clear who's following Him and who's not. The world doesn't need you to be fitting in with everyone all the time. You need to. But they need to know there's something about you that's heavenly. Amen. And not just all natural earthly. The yeast. The parable of the treasure. You stumble across salvation. Man, you give up your whole life for it. The parable of the pearl of great value. Taste and know that I'm good. You've had an experience of just a touch from the Holy Spirit. Who's experienced the touch of the Holy Spirit? Just my dad and I going chatting in the car. He was talking about the song he was listening to and a scripture he was reading, and he said he felt like he got goosebumps from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet. I'm like, yes, Dad. I'm experiencing that right now. I can sense God's presence all the time. I don't have to just have His presence here or there. I can honestly experience God's presence everywhere. What a wonderful thing to have. Once you've tasted that, you long for it more than anything else. You know when the presence of God is lifted from you. You know it. Like you start to get, I get angry with something or watch something I shouldn't on TV or whatever the case may be. Don't look at me like you haven't done it. But I know when the presence of God just is not there. I know when I've said something or I've thought something or I've been ugly with someone or I've made a plan that's just not God's plan at all. Like, and then I'm like, Lord, bless it. Where's your presence? He said, well, if you come back to where I am, you'll feel my presence. Okay, sorry, Lord. Let me go back to where you're going, because then everything I'm doing is blessed when I'm with you. As opposed to going where I want to go and asking God to come over and bless my thing when he's not going there. Hello? Let's go where Jesus is going. Anyway, parable of the net. How every one of us has a part to play. We're all a link in this incredible gathering in that God wants to use. God wants to use you. Some people are introverted. Some people are extroverted. Some people are good with business. Some people are good at home. Some people are just artistic and other people are analytical and all these kind of things. It doesn't matter. Whatever you are, whoever you are, you've got a link to play. You've got a role to play. Just by being there, you're able to see people caught in the net. If you've linked in, and if you've linked in with others, somebody's got a strength, another person's a bit weak in something, but when you linked in, we're strong. And when someone comes along who needs Jesus, there's not a hole in the gap, in the net, right? Because you're there. If you say, oh, the people don't really need me, I don't have a special gift, I can't sing nicely, or I can't do this, or I can't read the Bible, all those kind of things. The minute you do that, and the minute you walk away, there's a hole in the net. And the fish slip right through there. God wants to use us like a big net to catch people. And he wants to use you. So, folk, Jesus asked this question. Have you understood all these things? Have you comprehended the nature and the meaning of the parables? Do you understand them intelligently? But is there an urgency in your heart to apply what Jesus is teaching in your life? How many sessions have we done? We've done 2 months. We've been teaching on the parables. I trust that you've been intentional with the things that we've been learning over the last 2 months at putting to action the things that God is saying to you in your heart. Hello? That's what it means if you really understood these things. Those disciples, yes, no, we understand. Do you understand? He says, yeah, of course. You only really understand when you've applied it and when you've seen it work and you've put it into your life and you've been intentional about it. Can I encourage us? Let's not have another month go by of teachings that don't change us. They have to change us, folks. It has to. We have to get on our knees. We have to go over. You can listen to Brad all the time, but that's other people. I'm an other person, right? What I say to you, that's what another person says. You got to go to the Word. You got to dig it out yourself. You got to say, Jesus, teach me this. Put it in me so that it'll never be removed. That's when we really understand. Matthew 13, verse 10 to 12, the purpose of the parables. Jesus said, they asked the disciples, came to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. Sure, folk, don't let what Jesus is giving us as a church over these months, don't let it just slip away. Can I encourage us? Can I challenge us? Go back into Matthew 13. Go read the scriptures. Go and say, God, how can I apply these things? Please, Lord, show me. And make it a reality in your life. Are you with me? I want us to apply these things. Please, I want us to try. I'm asking, God, teach me, show me. Help me with all of this. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to be able to understand. Fuck. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 4 to 15. I'm going to show you there just the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the disciples had all the Old Testament. They thought they understood it all. The disciples had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. They had all of that. And when Jesus was teaching, they had the prophets, the law, the Psalms. When Jesus was teaching, they're like, wow, geez, okay, we get it now. But there's a lot more. It's not just about the Bible. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about getting info about Jesus. But it's about actually having His Spirit dwell in you that makes the difference. When His Spirit is in you, everything changes. Then it's not just head knowledge. It's a life lived from the heart. You don't want to live from your head all the time, right? Live from the heart. And that's what God wants to do for us. John chapter 16, verse 4 to 15. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember what I've told you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But I am going to him who sent me. So Jesus is leaving. He's going back to the Father. And none of you asked, where are you going? Because they all thought he was going to stick around. But when I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you. That's interesting. I still have many things to say to you, Crossing Church. Even today, Jesus says, I've still got many things I want to say to you. But you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine on the throne in heaven and declare it to us here on earth. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. Folks, the goal of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is to make you humbly dependent upon the words of Jesus, because he still wants to speak to you today. He still wants to guide you today. Jesus has many things he wants to teach you. It's better for Jesus. It's better that Jesus is not like one man in one place at one time that we must all run to. It's better that Jesus has gone to heaven and has poured out his Spirit and he says, I have come to you and I will be with you and I will be in you and I will show you and guide you and lead you in all the things that you need understanding in or need guidance in. The Holy Spirit, folk. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't say we understand what the parables are saying unless we've got the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. Do you have the Spirit of God? This is such an important question. Don't just be a scribe who studies the teaching, but be a disciple who's led by the Spirit. Is that cool? Don't just be a scribe who understands all the law and all the theory. Don't just know where Zephaniah is in your Bible, but learn what the Spirit is saying and let him guide you with regards to issues that your wife is going through, but she doesn't know how to voice it, etc. The Spirit of God is deeper, understands things, sees things, shows us things, reveals things that the Bible can never show us. Hello? But yet, always matches up with the Bible, always in line with the Bible, always pointing to Jesus, always exalting Jesus. We need the Spirit, folk. How else can we live out what the parables are teaching us? It's by the Spirit. How else will that yeast become a defining force in every area of our lives if it's not by the Spirit? How else will we see a small situation that God is working on? How else will we have the ability to see that this is going to be an incredible thing in the future if it's not by the Spirit? Sometimes I've spent time discipling people, spending time with people, having lunch meetings, going to their homes, praying for them. And I'm like, sure, Lord, I don't know if anything's getting through here. But it's by the Spirit when you start to see the calling on their life. You see them operating in the things of God. You see God using them mightily. It's like, wow, okay. It's not in vain. Let me keep pressing in. Let me keep encouraging. Let me keep going to their life group. Let me keep teaching those people. Because eventually when God breaks through, it's huge. There's wonderful things that happen. It has to affect your lives. And it needs to come to the point where you're willing to be taught, but also begin to teach others. If you've heard anything good over these last 2 months, you have a responsibility to teach someone. Just share a testimony with your wife, at least. That's a safe place to start, if it's a safe place there. Share a testimony with your children. Teach your children what you've learned. Don't because they think they know it all and they're 16. That doesn't matter. Teach them what they may be looking forward to you telling them about a humble situation in your life for them to listen to more stuff in your life. Hello? tell your children, I'm going to teach Ethan and Bethany, teach them about the things. I mean, they can't understand all of it right now. But I tell you, Ethan, yes, he's like, he wants to be David. Because he wants to cut off Goliath's head. One day I was telling the story of David and Goliath, and I told the part where Goliath's head got cut off, and I thought, I shouldn't have said that. Then he's like, yes, really? Now that's, he wants to see Goliath's head cut off. But I'm like, the Bible says we must teach the stories that are there to our kids, right? But let's teach someone. Go to a life group. I want to quickly point out to you where all the different life groups are in the life of the church. Hilton leads a group in Craighaven, if you can stay at Hills. And Chris leads the young adults and the youth. Doing a great job, Chris. Then, where's Stephen? Stephen's starting a new group. Well, it's an old group, but we're recognizing it as a new group. It's in Baloo, and he's got a whole lot of Malawian speaking people with him, but also English. You do it in English, huh? So, Stephen, I lead the Midrand group. Shereza, you can stand for the Midrand group. Hey, look, Midranders. And then we got Roy and Sari, aren't you? Who goes to Roy and Sari's group? Ian. Ian, why don't you stand for Roy and Sari's group in Branston? The Branston group. And then we got Tim's group at Kalami Estates. Tim is here. Hey, Tim. We got Bruce and Charmaine Alfrink. They lead a group at Summit College. They're in the coffee shop. Ian, the Kalpins go to that group. Am I right? Ian? No. You went there once. Bronwyn goes there. Bronwyn, will you please stand? Thank you, Bronwyn. That's at Summit College. Then we got Sean and Justina, who lead a group in Four Ways. And they're over there. And Honeydew group is John and Nikki. They're not here today, but that's at Craig and Sue's home. Ha ha. We're going to make you stand, Craig and Sue. And so, guys, these are the groups, these are people that you can talk to about going to their homes with that attitude of, I want to learn more about Jesus. And you'll learn more about Jesus in these homes with these people. I forgot about Waterfall. There's a new group starting on Tuesday, this Tuesday. And it's going to be at the Waterfall Crest Shopping Center. And Steph goes there. Where's Sandy? But Steph is a cool man. We're going to have a lack of time with that group. So I'm going to be leading that group for a bit on Tuesday nights until it's handed over. I'm leading the Midrand group until I can hand it over. We need more groups, folk. We haven't got a group in Lonial. We haven't got a group out near, like, Danefern area. We haven't got a group in Randburg. We haven't got a group in North Riding. We need many more groups in Midrand. We need more groups. But when people want to get together to learn about Jesus, when you come and you ask, tell me about your story, I want to be taught, that's a good thing for us folk. That's when we're starting to understand the parables. You may be seated. Thank you, folk. But also go there and tell someone about what you've learned. Tell someone your testimony. Tell someone about something that's happening in your life. Even the humble situation that you're in, you're saying, guys, I don't know what to do. This is where I am. This is the situation. I pray to God and I don't feel like I'm getting answers. Help me. In those places, I tell you, the wisdom of 3, 4, 5, 6 people who've walked that same road, maybe somebody's even heard a scripture or a word for you that day, they share it and your life has changed. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is an incredible thing. We must have an attitude where we're wanting to learn. Look at this, Hebrews 5, verse 11 to 14. It says, about this I have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. Paul talking to the Hebrews. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained or discipled by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Who wants to distinguish good from evil? Okay? It's not going to happen by reading Facebook all day. Distinguishing good from evil is going to happen by constantly practicing the things that Jesus is training you. Hello? You want to know what's good? You don't want to know what's bad? constantly practice what Jesus is training you. Is Jesus training you? He's training you if you're here today. He's been training you for months. Constant practice. That's what's going to help us see it. And then I just want to touch on this little thing. I'm going to parable back to the parable that we started with. Listen to this. Have you understood these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe or teacher of the law or expert interpreter or somebody who thinks he's got it all together with the letters, who's been trained as a disciple, a follower of Jesus for the kingdom of heaven, which is by the Spirit, he is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure things that are old and new. Hello. I sometimes get asked, Brad, why aren't we doing old songs? And I say, we did Amazing Grace today, didn't we? It's great, eh? But that's treasures old with treasures new. New songs. Is that right? Because when those old treasures first came out, they were new treasures. And now they're old treasures. And there's going to be some new treasures that are going to become old treasures. But the key is this. The guys who've known the old, humble yourself to learn more for the sake of the new. Is that good? But the guys who are new, they think they know it all as well, eh? I don't know, we got this thing jacked. You have to realize this. That hundreds of generations and lots of battles have been fought for you to be where you are today by those who've been in the old. Rita's prayed more prayers than I've even had breath of life. So for me to be like, oh no, not the old, would be absolutely proud and resisting God. But rather, let me say, I humble myself and I say, teach me, Rita. Teach me the older folk. Teach me the things of God. I want to know what God did in your day. I want those things to be restored today. And then I'm so grateful because Rita sings the new songs. And Rita wants to learn things. And Rita says every Sunday, jeez, that was well preached, Brad. And I'm like, yes, you can preach to me. But there's just something in our hearts where we have an attitude of not, I've got it all together. Whether you're old or whether you're young, it's not a thing of, I've got it together and this is how it should be. It should always be a case for every one of us all the time. Now, no matter how experienced or how inexperienced, that we say, show me again, Lord. Teach me again, Lord. Because you know what, folk? The best is actually yet to come. There's way more things than we've ever seen before that God's got in store for us. There's wonderful things that God wants to show. Can you imagine this thing? A 2,000-year-old message. Nearly 2,000-year-old message is still so fresh and new today. That the God, actually Jesus, is older than the earth. Jesus is older than eternity. Before eternity, Jesus was, I am. He's older than it all. He's seen it all. And yet He can be so new and so relevant and so up to date and so tomorrow and so the future. So, oh, the Bible, that's old school. Old school. Ask somebody who's known eternity if the 6,000 years that we've had in our planet is old. God knew what He was doing when He said a husband and a wife. God knew what He was doing when He said Jesus and the cross. God knew what He was doing when He said church and the end times. God knew what He was doing. And He's able to do new things today. Wonderful things today. He can create moments that you've never seen before. Who's hungry for the things we've never seen before? Who's hungry for the good old stuff? As if it's brand new. Hello? God wants to do that with us as a church. And that comes when we focus on the Word and the Spirit. Love the old and the new. Love the Old Testament and the New Testament. Love the scribes, what the scribes have written, but apply it to the kingdom of heaven. Listen to these scriptures quickly. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. This is David when it comes to the Spirit and the Word. He says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me. His Word is on my tongue. Jesus with the Spirit and the Word. In John 3, verse 34, He says, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for He gives the Spirit without measure. John 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Isn't that beautiful? the church in Jerusalem with the Spirit and the Word. In Acts chapter 4 verse 31, it says, and when they prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word with great boldness. The Spirit and the Word. Then you got the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10 verse 44, it says, while Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the Word. Paul demonstrates this in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. He says, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. His speech and his message was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. You got Ephesians 1 verse 13. Salvation by the Word and Spirit. In Him also, when you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. There's a good one. Protection by the Word and the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17 talks about the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then you've got our lives as a display. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. And you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. Folk, we've got a responsibility to receive the word. Let the Spirit come upon us, anoint that word, and display it so that people can see the way we live. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for us to be filled with the Spirit again. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, I want to pray for you here this morning. If you want to put your trust in Jesus, if you want to say, Lord, my life is old. The things that I've been going through in my life, it's like the same old. I need you, Jesus, to come and change it. The Bible says this, that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He makes all things new. It says this, that though you were as sinless, your sins are scarlet and as terrible as they are, to believe in Him, He washes you as white as snow. When you put your trust in Him, even as it talks there about a seal that gets placed upon your heart by the Spirit of God, just believe in Him. Put your trust in Him. If you trust Jesus today, He makes everything new. He's the God that can revive any situation you're going through. Not same old anymore, folk. New things do I declare, says the Lord. New things I want to do for you. New exciting moments. I tell you, folk, the life of faith in Jesus Christ is the greatest adventure that can be lived on this earth. You might have done it all, but you haven't done anything until you know Jesus. When you dive into that river, when you dive into that ocean with Jesus, it's greater than anything else you can ever experience. The wildest adventure of all is the one that you get with Jesus, the owner and maker of the whole earth. Will you trust Him today? Lord, I want to pray, and I pray for people in this place. I pray for all of us here, that as I've been sharing, Father God, that You would bring understanding to us. Do you understand these things that have been shared, says Jesus? Those disciples said yes. If today, if you understand this, that you are a sinner, Jesus forgives you. Do you understand that? Say yes. If you understand today that you're not strong, you're actually quite weak when it comes to trying to handle your life and get through the things you've got to get through and resolve issues and problems and all these things, put your trust in God. Do you understand this? That if you have God on your side, we sung the song, with Him, we can overcome anything. To trust You, Lord. If you've been feeling same old in your walk, you've tried to read the Bible, it's just black and white on the pages. Today, God wants to make you new. God wants to change everything. Do you understand these things? Say, yes, yes, Brad. Do you understand that life with Jesus is life indeed? Life with Jesus is life and freedom. You can see many people around this place today who believe that. They come every week because they believe it. They worship because they believe it. They give of themselves because they believe it. You can give yourself to something that is eternal and not in vain and worth it. When you look around, do you understand these things? Say, yes, Brad. Understand, I need Jesus. I need His presence in my life. If that's you here today, you say, God, make me new. I'm tired of the old. Why don't you put up your hand? Say, yes, Lord, that's me. That's me, Lord. It's wonderful, fuck. Wonderful, fuck. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time today, if that's you, would you raise up your hand? If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time today, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Okay. Now, I'm going to pray because many of you are putting up your hands because you want to be made new. This is a message for the church. It's not really an evangelistic message, but this is a message for all of us as the church. God, would you come and make us new? The only way God can do it is by the Spirit of God. And I want to, if you want to be filled with the Spirit again, if you want the Word and the Spirit, if you want to see, if you want to have an understanding of the parables that's not just in your head, but is played out in the way you live, that's rolling out of your life like a river, that's flowing like fruit out of you. If you want that kind of life, then I want to invite you to come stand up here and I want to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. If you want to be full of the Spirit, come. If you want a freshness and a newness, come. If you're hungry and thirsty for the pearl of great price, if you've tasted and known the presence of God and you want more of Him, come. There's people here, somebody's here that's been saying this in their mind. Been saying, Lord, I've been serving you a long time. And I'm stuck in a holding pattern. I've been serving you a long time. And it's like I've been storing things up for a rainy day. I've been serving you a long time I just haven't had the guts, or I just don't know what it is that's kept me back from breaking forth into the things that you've got for me. If you hear today, God says, today's a rainy day. God says to you, today is the day. I want to bring you out. Today's the day I want to fill you with my Spirit. Today's the day that everything that I've been putting in you over years and years of sowing seed into your heart, all the teachings and all the words and all the books and all the audio messages you've listened to and all the churches you've been to and all the stuff, today's the day God says, I want to break that thing open and I want that to be used to bless my people. I want you to be used in a new and wonderful way. Today is a rainy day. Today the Spirit pours out over your life. Today you are going to have an impact. You sensing that? Some of you, there's other people and maybe another person that's been thinking this. They've been sensing, like, Lord, I'm too inexperienced. I don't know, God. I don't know if I know enough. I want to be used by you, Jesus, but I haven't dealt with the sin issue yet. And I haven't read all my Bible yet. And I don't feel like I can make it. And I'm nervous and I doubt. If that's you here today, God says, today's the day I'm going to use you. New and old, I use you both. Today, by the Spirit of God, it's not your ability, it's not your long track record that makes you useful to me, it's my Spirit upon you. It's not your lack that makes you useful, unusable to me, says the Lord, it's my Spirit that makes you acceptable and usable to me. Today, receive the Spirit of God. Today, receive His anointing upon your life. Now the Scripture says this, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer now. The Scripture says this, that a scribe who's been trained in the kingdom is like an owner of a house who has many treasures on the inside and can bring them out, old and new. But I want you to know this, that God wants to use you, some of you old and some of you new. He wants to use some of your old experiences and some of your new experiences. God wants to use it. But you have to let Him be the owner of the house. If you want to surrender to Him today, say, God, own me. Own everything. Be master of my troubles. Be master of my treasures. Be master of everything. Own everything. Will you give over your time, your treasure, your talents, everything you have? Will you give it over to Him? Will you let Him own it? Can I ask you that? Okay. I'm going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for every single person in this place that is hungry for more of you. I want to thank you every person here that is expectant for a new and fresh experience of you, O God. I thank you that you are so generous, Jesus. That, Lord, that any person that calls on your name, that comes to you, that desires anything from you, you are the God who gives. You're the God who opens the doors. You're the God who shows us new and wonderful things. Lord, I thank you for your generous spirit being poured out over every single person here. I want to ask you, Father God, that as we lay hands on folk, Lord, just even if we can't get to everyone, Lord, that you would lay your hands on them, that you, Holy Spirit, would touch people, Lord. Please, Jesus, I pray this, everyone who asks here, Jesus, you lay your hand upon my life, that you would fill them with your spirit. I pray for an experience of your spirit. I pray, Lord God, for a touch from you that is beyond anything that they've ever experienced before. I pray today, Lord, is a new day, a day where they know, Jesus, I thought I knew the Lord, but now I've seen, now I know. I thought I had you wrapped, I thought I had you all together, God, but now I know. I thought you were like this, I thought you were like that, but God, you're the God of surprises. You're the God of the suddenlies. You're the God who shows yourself true. You're the God who shows yourself new in different ways. I pray for every person, no matter what season of life, now's the time to see a new revelation of Jesus. Now's the time to see Jesus in a new light. Now's the time to see Jesus as the one who loves you as you are right now. Not the Jesus of yesterday. Not He is the God of yesterday, but He's the God of today and He's the God of tomorrow. But He's going to show you a new thing. He's going to show you Himself in a great and mighty way. Would you raise your hands and in surrender, just ask with me, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, would you reveal all the things that you've been wanting to teach me? Would you reveal new things to me? Would you show me new things, God? Would you reveal wonderful things in your word? Would you pour out your spirit? Jesus, give me a fresh, new infilling of your presence. Give me a fresh revelation. An age-old revelation, but new for me today. God, would you do a new thing? God, would you use me to teach, to show your goodness and your grace to people? Lord, would you help me to do new things, things I haven't done before, for the sake of your gospel? Would you give me a fresh boldness? Would you give me courage? Would you give me an assurance that you are here and that you are with me? That I'm your son and I'm your daughter. Would you touch me afresh? In Jesus' name. Amen. Just receive from Him right now. We've asked God and He wants to do it. You've requested of Him and He wants to do it. Just let Him touch you. I'm going to give God opportunity to do what He wants to do in your life before I do anything. Holy Spirit forgives you of all your sin, cleanses you of all your disease. Forget not all the benefits of the Lord. How vast are they? If you were to try and count the thoughts that God has towards you, they're more numerous than the grains of sand on the shores. God loves you. God wants to use you. Today, as you are leaning towards Him, He is leaning all of heaven towards you. Everything you need, He gives you right now. Oh, Lord. I'm going to need some help from the deacons and leaders, and just if you feel like God's Spirit is upon you, just to come and lay hands and pray on people, pray for people. If you've received a touch from God, or just our leaders, deacons, just leaders in the church, come and let's just lay hands upon folk. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill them. We don't have to get into prayers and discussions right now, but the Bible says as we lay hands upon them, we can trust that the Holy Spirit would fill them. Amen. Can we do that? Okay, that's cool. Lord Jesus, thank you for your anointing, Lord God. A fresh anointing, Jesus.
Thank you that you wash away the old and you're welcoming and bringing a newness, a fresh newness, Lord God. Thank you for your Spirit right now. You can do anything. Nothing's impossible for him. He can do anything. He can turn anything around. He can do everything that he says he can do. He wants to do it for you. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. God wants to use you mightily. Let God's anointing come upon you for the task. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for a touch from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for a fresh infilling of your Spirit. Anointing, Lord God, from the top of your head down to the soles of your feet. Washing over, Lord. Just receive more from you. He wants to pour his waterfalls over you. Amazing grace over you. Wonderful, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh touch, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, oh God. Thank you that you anoint every person, all who call on the name of the Lord can be filled with your Spirit, Lord. Thank you that it happens right now, Jesus. You're wonderful, man. Thank you, Father, God. Opportunities, new doors, new strength, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Amen. I pray for both of you. Father God, bless these two, Lord. Bless this couple, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, your reality, your truth, your grace, your fruit. Just poured out over them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a freshness, Lord God, a lightness, an ease, Lord, with you, God. Thank you that you just let your rhythms flow over them, Jesus. Waves over them, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Anoint them, Lord God. Anoint them, Lord. Rivers of your living water pour over them, Jesus. In your wonderful name. Just receive more from him. More and more. God's got so much for you. He's not holding back. Can trust Jesus that when you start to apply the things that he's taught, you can trust that his presence will be so real and so true, and you will see fruit in his life. You will see God's word is true. He has spoken. He says those things not for nothing. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It'll impact the areas of your life. The things you've been asking today, you've been thinking about God doing something in one way, but God's going to do maybe something in another way, and you're going to be surprised at how he answers and how he touches and how he changes things in your life. You can be expectant of what God has done yet today. Honestly. I want to just quickly call the church to a time of prayer and fasting. I don't know how you do that quickly. So if you can just bear with me for a second, because this is important for every one of us here. It's halfway through the year, and I'd like to call the church to a time of prayer and fasting for 10 days, from the 1st of Jan to the 10th of Jan, July. It's like such a new, if you're going to feel like it's a brand new year, and we're halfway through. It's going to be, you see, the scripture says this, in Joel chapter 2, there's this call to a prayer and fasting, and it's so important. In Joel chapter 2 from verse 15, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion and consecrate a fast. Now, the way the Lord has been leading and guiding me to this point and the eldership to this point where we felt to call the people to a fast has been through various confirmations, just people sensing stirrings in their heart and in their spirit, different prayers that have been prayed. And I've been feeling like if we do this, if we respond to this, we're going to see what God's intended. He's wanting to respond to us. We're going to see what God's intended through this time of prayer and fasting. So, Joel chapter 2 verse 15 says, blow a trumpet in Zion and consecrate a fast. Who's got a trumpet? Thanks, Chris. It says, call a solemn assembly. In other words, we need to get together and do this together. It says, gather the people, consecrate the congregation. Consecrate, in other words, set the whole congregation apart as holy. The only way we can do that is by repenting of sin and asking God's forgiveness upon our lives and believing that He's made us holy in Jesus. Hello? So let's understand that He's called us to something very special, very separate. The Crossing Church are making this declaration that God's calling us to something very different. You're asking God for new things. You're asking God for a new season. We're trusting God for revival, folk. We're trusting God on a completely different level. Last week, 7 people got saved in the meeting. And we've been praying and fasting and seeking God for a revival. I want to let you know that the enemy doesn't like it. There has been attack upon my life, upon Sharissa's life, upon the leadership's life over the last few weeks that has been ridiculous. Like unheard of. Because we said we're going to press into God for revival. And if last week was a taste of what's to come, it was 7 people, it was a perfect number of people getting saved. God's wanting to do something amazing over us as a church, folk. We can stay the same, or we can press in and see God do things we never thought possible. Hello? We can stay the same old, or we can say, God, You meaning business, we meaning business. If my lifetime's going to count for one thing, I want to listen to what You said I should do on that day, and we can see God do amazing things. Perhaps, I'm not just saying a highfalutin thing here. Perhaps it will be said, do you remember the days of what happened in Midrand in 2015 when the Spirit of God broke out over that place? Perhaps. I want to stir your faith. I want to encourage you for something amazing. It says this, gather the children. Not, sorry, I can't, I've got children. It says, even the nursing infants. Not, sorry, I can't, I'm breastfeeding. Okay? It says, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. What does a bridegroom and a bride want to do in the chamber? In other words, this is so important, that can wait. Come. It says, between the vestibule and the altar, the priests and the ministers of the Lord were weeping. And they were saying, spare your people, O Lord. Make your heritage, those who make your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Why should people drive past and say, is there a God there? Why should people think about this church and say, where's their God? Why should people look at your life and say, is there a God in your life? But if revival takes place, folk, and the Spirit of God breaks out, people are not going to drive past and say, is there a God there? They're going to say, there's a God there. There is God there. And Jesus is God there. Hello? Are you with me? Who's in? I'm in for revival. I don't know, whatever it costs. I'm in for Jesus breaking through and saving people's lives. I'm in for souls being saved. I'm in for people rejecting sinful ways of life and changing. I'm in for our nation being changed. I'm in for the government being changed. I'm in for circumstances and situations being changed by the power of God. I'm in for that. Hello? So we're going to pray Wednesday the 1st to Friday the 10th. 240 hours. But this is how we're going to break it down. Because that's a little bit daunting. As much as you want to fast and pray and fast, you can. I was thinking of maybe having the church open and doing all kinds of things where people could come and pray at any time. But I think Joburg is tough. And traffic and all these kind of things are a hindrance. I'm not saying that's an excuse. If God was going to call us to do it a certain way, we could all do it. If you can commit to praying 1 hour in the daytime, and 1 hour in the night time for 10 days. And pick any hour. 3 in the morning if you want to. And 11 in the afternoon. But 1 hour in the night and 1 hour in the day. Even if it's 6 o'clock every day. When the sun comes up, put your first hour in somewhere. And when the sun is down, put an hour in somewhere. And we're going to pray. And folk,
How are you going to fast? You can fast food. Don't tell me you're fasting gluten. Don't tell me you're fasting, you're doing a banting fast. There's no such thing. However you want to fast. If you want to go cold turkey, go ahead. If you want to just drink water, just drink fruit juice, whatever, just be careful. Don't do anything foolish. I think it would be good to fast delicacies. But the point is not how we fast, folk. The point is that we're pressing into God, that we're causing a hunger for God to be louder than a hunger for food. How do you guys get when you get hungry? I get miserable if I'm supposed to have food and I didn't get it. Replace that hunger for a hunger for God. I am going to encourage you to not watch as much TV and pray. I am going to encourage you to actually have a social media fast if you must. I'm going to encourage, that might be very hard for some of you, because nowadays people live on Twitter and Facebook. And just one more like. Do away with it. Don't fast that stuff. Get rid of the computer screens, the cell phone screens, and the TV screens for just 10 days. I tell you, your life will be changed. You'll be like, what is this? This is load shedding of another kind. Turn the TV off. Get rid of, just put stuff out. Fuck, can I also encourage you? If there's areas of sin in your life, ask God to help you not to do that thing for 10 days and watch what happens on the 11th day. You want to be free of something you've been battling with. You want to be free of smoking. You want to be free of drugs. You want to be free of some addiction. You want to be free of porn. You want to be free of whatever it is. Just for 10 days, you put your trust in God. You put aside, you close the door in every way you have to for whatever it is that's been tempting you, and you watch God do amazing things. This is a time for us. We're calling you to focus on Jesus. This is not a time to make big business decisions. Hello? This is not a time to make big, major life change decisions. Rather fast and seek God and make those decisions afterwards. And you'll see God do amazing things. Let's get close to Jesus. The point is that we pray. These are the things we wanted to pray for. We want to pray for revival. And revival comes when the saints are refreshed and are forgiven of sin and sinners are saved. Hello? Saints and sinners. Repentance and refreshing. That's what we want to ask God for. Are we in? 10 days. We'll send out SMSs. We'll send out social media. We're like, this is your last opportunity to look at your Facebook now. On the 1st of July. For 10 days. Next Sunday is going to be amazing. We'll be in the middle of it. But let's trust God. Are you cool? We're cool. Sorry I kept you a little bit longer, but I had to share that. God's going to do amazing things among us. And let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. Father, I pray for that, Lord. I pray that our time of prayer and fasting would be blessed. We ask You, Lord Jesus, for Your hand. Hear our prayers. Stir our prayers. Guide our prayers. We don't know what to pray. Show us what to pray. Lead us, Lord. Protect us from the enemy. When You fast.